Following lecture titled Muslims and Christians Together for a Better Life in America was recorded Sunday, May the 9th, 1999 at Masjid Bilal Islamic Center in Los Angeles, California. The lecturer is W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
Allah says, see how the same rain falls from the sky on the same ground? But some things come up cheap and worthless, while others come up beautiful and luscious, with great value. Yes. But we don't need all of you. Oh, yeah, they need us. They need us. No, we don't need you all. We need you one or two. And one or two of you from this gathering here today can join the one or two from other gatherings in different places, and we will have a good number, a sufficient number, to do what the model leaders of Muhammad the Prophet did with him. Change the whole world. You don't need a lot of people, you only need a few determined people. And they can change the whole world for the multitudes. So let's get out of this idea that we got to convert everybody. What must be done to remove the rusty lock, to remove the rust from the rusty locks? We intend to save every one of the 17 million. Impossible. And you should know it by now, after 60 years of that. You should know it by now that it can't be done. So you let the water fall on everybody. The rain from the heavens is for everybody. So let it fall down on everybody. But don't worry if a damn thorn come up over there. Crap grass came up over there. Do you see anything that you want, that you wanted, that you were hoping for? Harvest it. And go on to make progress. Go on after progress. Yes, because there's always going to be crap grass coming up. And thorn bushes, etc. Always going to be those things. They ain't going to stop it. But hell, let them have a little rain though every now and then, brother. Because God made the rain for all the living things. Community pride, a sense of community. We can't get anywhere if we want to be Shiite. More than we want to follow God. More than we want to follow the example of Muhammad the Prophet. If we want to be Sunni, more than we want to follow the word of God in the Quran. More than we want to follow the example of Muhammad. We ain't going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We won't be successful. If we want to be members of the Nation of Islam, more than we want to follow the Quran, more than we want to be like Muhammad in human excellence, then we're not going anywhere. We're not going to be successful. If we want to be the friend of the establishment, more than we want to be followers of the word of God and the leadership Muhammad, we are not going to be successful. You want friendship with the Christians, with the church leaders, more than you want to see the proper dawah for the masjid, you're not going to be successful. Community pride, that's what we want. We want to fulfill the natural need in us for community pride. Bill Cosby, he's gotten more wealth than maybe 90% of the whites could ever get in their lifetime. Not many whites can get the wealth that he's been able to get. Very few. But is he really satisfied with his life? In America? No, he's not. You go to him and ask him, he said no. Why? Because when he looks at himself as an individual, he's very successful. But when he looks at himself as a member of a community, he's terribly deficient. Terribly deficient. Way behind. Not advanced. And you know what makes us feel that way more than anything else? The knowledge that we have not been singled out for abuses, for denials. We have been all lumped together for abuses and for denials. So it has gone into our souls, since we all were denied together, we all were abused together, it has gone into our souls by the will of God to make none of us be satisfied until the whole of the people is in a better state of condition. That's God's way of helping all the people by causing them all to carry the burden of what affected them all and what was planned for them all and what was executed upon them all or against them all. Now, you know, some of us, we enjoy our little freedom and our little achievements in life, like the cocaine sniffer. And we're not even aware that we belong to the African-American people. So I'm not saying there's an exception. Everybody's not feeling like Bill Cosby. There is the exception. As far as I'm concerned, those poor niggas don't exist. My buddies are rich. And that's the only world that I'm concerned about. You know, there's some of us like that. But they own drugs, heavy drugs. None of the normal-minded people or natural-minded people would be thinking that way. Life in America. Life in America is a very special life. I want you to understand that. If it wasn't a very special life, I wouldn't be your leader. God knows I wouldn't be your leader. I'd be living somewhere else. I would. It's a very special life here. America, in its concept, political concept, political ideology, governmental concept, societal concept, whatever you want to call it, in its design, in its construction, in its plan, America is an experimental model. I'm not saying this. This is what the wisest of the American builders of this American society say. It is an experimental model. They call it a living constitution, means that it's subject to mature more, it's subject to develop more, it's subject to even change itself, get rid of something that's there to improve its form. This is the nature of American ideology, American political ideology, American governmental concept. This is the nature of it. It's experimental. What does that mean for us as citizens of this country? Any citizen of this country can dream of a better America. And you can share with the American public your dream. And you can compete with those who are in power. And if you get more of the good people on your side, you can change America and make America the America you're dreaming of. This is America. This is what makes it so special, makes this place so special. So I'm not a naive person who's got a lot of ideas that can't be realized. No, I'm not. I'm looking at facts and reality, and I'm responding to facts and reality. And I'm saying to you that we have as much rights as any American to plan our Islamic future. And our Islamic future is not just planning to have a place to make sajda. Our Islamic future is not just planning an elementary school, a high school, or even a college, or even a university. That's not the whole life. That's an aspect. That's a little facet. That's an aspect of our life. We will never have the life that satisfies our souls until we concentrate on having community life. And then see these other things as steps toward the completion of community life. Masjid is first, yes. Worship of God is first. We must have a place to pray. We must have a place for Jummah. Jummah is an obligation on all Muslims. We must have a place for Jummah prayers. Yes, that's first. But is that the whole picture? No! Very small part of it. The big part is the whole. God never said to us, you're the best mystics on earth. You're the best group of mystics I've created. He said, you are the best community. Evolve for the good of all people. Evolve for the good of all people. Are you going to hold on to that crazy stuff in the past? You going to keep on looking and see what scars you got left from the plantation? Yeah, that looked like a whiplash back there. Dirty devil slave master. Yaku got the stump. Look what he did to my back. He hadn't put me on all those shoes that wasn't big enough to fit my foot, forced us to wear small shoes, I wouldn't have this nigger to him. Yeah, he's a Yaku grass, the devil, the skunk on the planet Earth. Realize that today is a new world. New time. New world. You could get in the shoe that fits you now. Yes, you can wear the shoes that fit you now. I'll go barefooted. Not in Chicago in January, though. But you can go barefooted now, too. So nobody to blame for your condition, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. Say, nobody to blame for your condition now that you have been free and invited to truth. There's no one to blame for your condition but you. That's what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. Are we going to stand still? Stand still and wait for the mothership to come and save us? Huh? We going to stand still and wait for Muslim police to be on every corner saying, go that way to the mothership. As-salamu alaykum. Go to Culver City. The mothership is there waiting for you. You're going to wait for that foolishness? It was good in this time. Powerful psychology to hold you. I'm telling you, that's some stuff that I watch every now and then. I just make my own screen. And I sit there and I put all that stuff on a white wall. I have white walls in my house too. I put all that stuff on a white wall and I started, wow, what a terrific piece of work. But I ain't gonna get in the picture anymore. You can bet your life on that. I may project it once in a while, but I ain't going to get into the picture, not ever again, because I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. Community pride, a sense of community. God didn't make any one man to live alone. God didn't make any one man so limited in his potential, so limited in his resources that he can do nothing but take care of one person. God made every man with the capacity, with the resources, with the potential to take care of many people. And the more we exercise that great power and property that God has given us, the more freedom we enjoy. The more the good life we embrace. Praise be to Allah. So you're invited to grow. Allah says that he has given you this religion that you may grow. We don't want you to stand still. We don't want you to be stunted. We don't want you to be a little small midget forever. He wants you to grow. Grow in your ability to support community life. You are community. He wants you to grow in your ability to support community life. And the more you grow to accept responsibility for community life, and the more you contribute to the life of the whole community. Some of you have no desire to be welders. You have no desire to be industrialists. You have no desire to do anything perhaps but just draw beautiful pictures, make beautiful designs, do beautiful artwork. Make your contribution. If it's satisfying no more than you, nobody but you, you are a freak artist.
Right.
Yeah. Any artist that draws beautiful things and don't want anybody else to see it, that's a freakish artist. So exercise your talents. Increase your talents. You're going to better the society. Because your contributions, if they're worthwhile, they're not going to stay just with you. They're going to be accepted by others. And the whole community, as a result of your contribution, will be better. Some of you are singing, and you send me your music. And I'm sorry, I'm so busy that I can't hardly respond to most of you. You send me CDs even now. Yeah, they oh man, they've really stepped up that program. They make CDs. And I'm wondering if you were having candles in the dark when you were composing it, because it sounds like a seance going on. Allah, 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 Allah. Wait a minute, I ain't ready to go to sleep. I'm trying to wake up. Then what is the sedative you get sent to me? On a CD. Long playing sedative. On a CD. Go back to Africa and learn some rhythm. And just do that and say, Katir! 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 I'll buy and play it. Allah says that he has made us the best community. It means best in its use to supply the society, the members of society, with the good things that God created them for. That's what it means. Hierarchy. And God says, who has said to my devotees, worshipers, that they are forbidding the chairat? Says, these things are for them in this life. Listen, this is what God says in the Quran. These things are for them in this life, and exclusively for them in the hereafter. What does that mean? That means in this life there be those who do not respect God enjoying these things. But in hereafter, those who now share in the enjoyment of these things will be cut out of those things. And only the believers who are faithful to God will be enjoying those things. The khairat. Goods and services that benefit and prosper humanity as God wants humanity to be benefited and prosper. That's what it means. And God says, seek with the means he has made possible or avail you with. The hereafter, the afterlife. But don't forget your share in this world. Don't forget your share in this world. How are we going to have a model community if we don't want to have industry? and be responsible for industry. If we don't want to have industry, commerce, thriving businesses, etc., and be responsible ourselves for that, be the generators of that ourselves, how can we answer that obligation to respect our responsibility for this present world, to respect our share in it? Now, there's a logic for that statement of God. God, what he says is not only revelation, what God says is a logic. There's a logic for that. All of you, whether you're Christian, Muslim, no matter what you are, and believe me, just because you're dressed like Muslim, don't you think I believe all you're Muslim. Some of you are Christian. Some of you are Christian, but you've been caught into a Muslim portrait, and you've been known in that portrait for so long that you're just ashamed to tell them, this is the wrong picture. But no matter what religion you are, all of us believe in religion. We believe that one God did all of this. And he made the earth for all his creatures. If he made the earth for all his creatures, then that means I am a shareholder. I am a part owner in this earth. At least in terms of my ability to utilize it, to make use of it. I am a shareholder. I'm a part owner. I'm one of the owners. That's the logic. So when God says, do not forget your share of this world, God is saying just that. That I made you just like I made all other people. And when I see you in the judgment and you have done nothing with what I gave you, I'm going to treat you accordingly. That's what God is telling us. I'm going to treat you accordingly. Do we have any support for that in the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet? Yes. Some people brought Muhammad the Prophet, a man they thought to be a holy man. And they said, we wanted you to present this man to you, this servant of God, because he is so good. He prays all the prayers. He fasts all the fasting. Muhammad the Prophet said, who takes care of him? I guess Prophet Muhammad knew if he said all those prayers and everything, he did more than Muhammad was doing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, I would say, I'm a busy man. I can't pray a fadl and sunnah and nafi and nafi and nafi and made up nafis. So our prophet says, who takes care of him? Who provides him with his sustenance for his livelihood? They said, we do. Say, then you are better than he. They said, then you are better than he. Is there any more support for that? He said, the hand like this, asking for something to be put in it, is not equal to the hand like this, putting something in the hand that's asking. So the dignity of the poor is never poverty. The dignity of the poor is the spirit in the poor to get out of poverty. And that's why the Prophet was giving us an incentive, giving us help for that spirit that we have in us to get out of poverty by telling us the hand like this is never equal in value to the hand that's like this, putting something in the hand. Praise be to Allah. And then we have God revealing to us the prayer of the best of his followers, of the best of his devotees. It's Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, give us of this world the best, the good thing. Hasana means excellence, best. And in the hereafter, after this world, the good, excellent things, the best. And save us from the punishment of the fire. That's the prayer of the best of God's devotees. Do you pray to have the best in this life? Do you think it was great on your soul, on your beautiful mystic soul, to hear me praying for the excellence of this world? It shouldn't, because God has the best of his devotees revealed in the Quran asking for the best of this world. And the term didn't change. Fit dunya. The Arabs made a song, some of the performers, singers made a song about 40 years ago or so. Et dunya hiya hiya. Et dunya hiya hiya. Well, Aisha hiya hiya. So it's still the same language, haven't changed. 13 or 14 centuries later, they still know what dunya is. They say the dunya, the world, is what it is, is what it is. And life is what it is what it is. It's not changing. And I want to get a piece of what it is, because God told me to get a piece of what it is, that I have a share in it, and I want my share of what it is, whatever it is. Allahu Akbar. Yes. So you know they call us spooks. That's another name for black people. In case some of you Muslims who came over lately to visit and join us as citizens recently, blacks ain't the only name we got. Spooks. Spooks. That's another name we got. Spooks. They call us spooks. And when you look at Soul Train, that's what they're saying. Spook people. Soul Train. It's blowing off steam. They done upgraded the progress, the locomotive, you know, locomotive. And it's not steam engine anymore. It's not ran by coal and steam anymore. It's diesel. But Soul Train still have a steam puffer. Soul people. What are they saying when they call us soul people? They mean you live for nothing concrete. You live for no community establishment. You're like people with no house. Spirits with no room to live in. Spirits with nobody. Soul folks. Spirits with nobody. And we buy their language. And we take pride in calling each other soul brother. Hey, soul brother. Hey, pap, pap, yap, yap. Soul brother. But one of our leaders, a writer, he wrote about us. And I guess that was 40 years or more ago. And he put it, as a novelist, he put it in his own language. He said, explaining his misery, he said, seeing that somewhere behind me, I got separated from my social responsibility. He's explaining the bad situation of the race, the bad spiritual situation of the race, that we're in a bad spiritual state. We are not happy. We are not fulfilled. We are not free. And what's the reason is? We haven't accepted social responsibility. Somewhere in the struggle, in the freedom struggle, up from the plantations, along the way to the present time, we got separated from our social responsibility. Our responsibility to our families. Our responsibility to African-American neighborhoods. Our responsibility to African-American community life. We got separated from it. And then here comes Islam, voice of Islam, the voice of the Quran, the appeal of Muhammad the Prophet, and his excellent model. And it touches us. And it touches us. And a lot of us don't know why. We just love Islam so much. There's many reasons for this, but there are a few really important reasons for this. One important reason is that we can't trust the society that reduced us to less than a human being to give us or show us the path to God. So when Islam comes independent of America, we embrace it. Here is something that my slave master is not giving me. Here's something that the country that denied me is not giving me. Here's something that's coming from the outside. So we embrace it. That's a tendency into us. That's a tendency in us to grab and embrace and adopt that that's coming from the outside. I remember long before our people got acquainted with Islam, or long before the Nation of Islam got popular in America, and I used to see African Americans dressing like old Spanish medieval time captains of the ship, on the ship and things. Yeah, they'd be dressed like that. Another one dressing like Napoleon Bonaparte, you know. And I mean, maybe that was their dress. I mean, they were so proud of it. Another one wasn't carrying an easel in his hand, but he looked like a French artist, was wearing a French town just like the French artist. And in every way, he was imitating the French artists. Anything but America. Anything but this. Just want to get away from what was forced on them. What was forced on us. Yes. Yes. Now, I believe that part of the reason for us embracing Islam, coming to the Nation of Islam, coming to even now, coming to the Islam, calling Islam now, is that we want something that doesn't say to us, you got this from the same hand that pushed you down. See? Now that's a problem for our leaders to look at, address, and work on it till we get that thing out of us. You can't keep living in the past. You got to travel. You got to prosper. You got to grow. You got to make progress in the path. Don't keep living in the past, but walk the path and make progress every day. To do that, you can't be remembering that, yeah, the white man this, the white man that, and this is the white man's thing, and this is the white man's world. We ain't gonna be able to get nowhere in the white man's world. Well, when the man first was put on this earth, it was the animal's world. Now, suppose he had said, oh, this is the animal's world. We ain't gonna get nowhere in the animal's world. And believe me, in Western society, mostly what you're looking at who's holding power is the animal. So again, rise up, human being, and say, yes, this is the animal world, but it wasn't made for the animal. God made this for human beings. And advance your life over the life of the animals. So they will live in their inferior quarters and you live in your superior quarters. That's the way God wants it. Yes, I don't care how high they are up in the society, up in the establishment, politically or otherwise, God, if they are not the human person that God created us to be, God does not want them there. And if you sincerely go after them to unseat them, to unestablish them with your establishment, not with your mouth, with your establishment. That's how you unestablish them, with your establishment. You know how come animals are not ruling this area we're in right now? Because too many houses built here. Too many streets are all around here. Too many vehicles are running up and down the roads. They don't want that. They can't live in this kind of environment. So that's the way you unestablish them, establish yourself. And the natural spirit in you for community pride, if you just obey it and respect it and do something every day to make a contribution to the betterment of your household and the betterment of your neighborhood, the betterment of your town, we'll be successful. It's as simple as that. And do it in cooperation with the best of your people. Let the weaker be supported by the stronger. Let those who see better see the way for those who can't see. This is the way of God for all time. That's the way of God. Don't be so proud of your little vision that you don't want to have it helped with a bigger vision. Well, hell, I know what Imam W.D. Muhammad's talking about. He's talking about revitalizing the neighborhoods, opening up new business and creating retail stores overnight, Sounds good. But I got my own plan. And I had mine before he told you all about that. In fact, I had mine in 1971. See, when you're living in a society as a minority and more dependent group or community, it's wise for you to study how can you work with the bigger establishment, the bigger numbers, for a better future for all of you. And it's not their job to lift you up. It's not the job of 200 million to come and look for 35 million and say 35 million scattered all about and doing without. We would like to have you included, and we want you to put your heads with ours. Let the best of your leaders put their heads with the best of our leaders so we can have this a better society, a better country for all of us. That's not their job. The obligation is more on you. You should authorize the best of your leaders to go and make contact with the best of their leaders, to let them know that we all have the same life, that God did not create us with different human lives. He created us with the same human life, the same human emotionality, the same human passions, the same human nervous system that breaks down under extreme pressures and sends us to the hospital crazy and helpless. So you made us all the same. We're all the same human make. And we all want essentially the same human future. A future that will put us to rest, that we can go to bed and rest or go to our graves at peace, knowing that our children will fare well in the world we have left them. All people want the same. So how come we can't go to them and our best leaders, send your best leaders to them and tell them that? You don't need any great wisdom. Tell them just that. Tell them plainly like that. That is the wisdom. Sometimes the things that are put in the simplest terms are the wisest expressions. Yes, especially when it's coming from somebody in a circumstance that tells the others, looking at them in that circumstance, oh, they'll never send people to us to join us in our efforts. They're too small-minded. Think about it, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm doing for you. I'm doing it on my own. And I've been doing it for a long time. And many of your leaders have joined me now. So we're doing it. We're doing it. But we want to see more of you supporting it. We want to know that the members of this community, the members of this masjid here, and the members of the other centers and masjids throughout this nation are supporting my leadership. That you believe in what I'm doing. That you see a great future in what I'm doing, and you're well-wishing me, and you're praying to Allah for my success. That's what we want to know. We want to know that. And we want you to give the support to your leader who will stand up and take the stand that I've taken. Right. Join me in this stand and work for what I'm working for. Right. We want you to give him the love that you would show me if I was here. Right. Give me the support that you would give him, the support that you would give me if I was here. That's normal and natural. Allahu Akbar. This is what we want. And I guarantee you that the way has already been opened. I've sat with big, big power holders. I've sat with some of the richest people in this country. And they have permitted me, they're interested in me. You know, they marvel. They think it's a modern day miracle that the son of Elijah Muhammad is now Wallace D. Muhammad in this day and time. That man's son from back there is this man we're looking at today. They say that's a modern day miracle. So big, powerful, no joke, brother. Big, powerful, rich people, they invite me to come and address the top of their people, their big leaders. And I address them. And you know what I told them? Almost the same thing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told them. I said, really, we don't want a lot from you. All we want, we got a plan. I said, all we want you to do is not interfere with our plan. Don't hurt our plan. Don't bring your big machineries in the way of our little machinery. And you know what they told me when I got through talking to them? That's not all I told them. That's not all I told them. But when I finished, you know what they said? Their representative came back to the podium, and he told them, he said, did you hear what he said? Do you hear what he wants? So he's saying all he wants us to do is stay out of his way. And he didn't ask them for a response, but I looked at the audience when he was saying that, and I saw that they were respecting everything. They were accepting and respecting what was said. When it was over, he sat privately with me, and he told me, he said, we are with you, that and we will be quietly supporting you. Allahu Akbar. And I know that he is. He and his group of capitalists, they are powerful capitalists. They are quietly supporting Imam Mahdi Muhammad. They are watching our progress. They are watching what we are doing and seeing if there's opportunity for them to assist us quietly from out of sight, from behind scenes. And that's the best way to support us. They don't want to alarm other big fellows. And that's not all the support that Islam has opened to me. Islam. Living, trying my best to live Islam and follow Muhammad the Prophet has opened up so much to me. And when I say to me, it means to you, because they wouldn't even want to hear me if I didn't represent a constituency. And I represent a very special and a very large constituency. So let us prepare ourselves and let the people, the congregation of Muslims everywhere, support the best of our leaders. And if you don't have good leaders, give them some encouragement to be better leaders. You can start by giving them a little more charity. Some of you all, you want the rent paid, you want mosques to pray in, you want schools, and you want a man to lead the Jummah and to be there on time and everything, and to be available to you when you want to discuss your marriage situation with him and etc. But you don't think you should look at your income and say, here's $10 out for this week for the masjid, $10 for the imam. That's not right. Then some of you got undesirable characters over you. And you think that you're being good by coming to the masjid to listen to that undesirable character every week. And you think that you and he are different. But in the judgment, you're both going to be in the same fire. Because he was the undesirable character and you gave him your support. The establishments of Christians in this country have always wanted to have more and better education. Education in these lands and in this country was not always public education. It was private education. It was church-supported education. Those were the first schools, the first colleges, the first universities. Now it's public education. It's been that way for a long time, public education. And the whole establishment is changing now. They're becoming more conscious of an authority over them. They're becoming more conscious of their neglect. Them neglecting the good life to make contribution to the good moral life and ethical life of their society. They're repenting a great period of sin behind us. They're repenting that now. The year 2000 is coming in. They're preparing for the year 2000 to be in wudu and ablution. They are working hard to be in wudu and ablution when the year 2000 comes. This is the best time for us to go and let them know that we are comrades in arms, that we are all fighting for the same moral cause. We are all fighting for the same ethical future for our society. They are becoming more conscious of their neglect, them neglecting the good life to make contribution to the good moral life and ethical life of their society. They're repenting a great period of sin behind us. They're repenting that now. The year 2000 is coming in. They're preparing for the year 2000 to be in wudu and ablution. They are working hard to be in wudu and ablution when the year 2000 comes. This is the best time for us to go and let them know that we are comrades in arms, that we are all fighting for the same moral cause. We are all fighting for the same ethical future for our society. And we are all fighting for the same justice for all people. So let them know that. Let people who are fighting the same war or the same battle acknowledge each other and lend support to each other so the war or the battle will not be so long and not be so hard on all of us. And we'll have support of the big ones, support of the many numbers, support of the big ones. And they will not be looking at us as outsiders and looking at us as enemies. You don't have to be a Christian to be accepted in. Inclusion under the law of this land does not require you to be of any particular faith or religion. It requires you just to be of a certain standard of moral human excellence. That's all. And if you're of that standard, then you have the right to plan the future for the whole society. So let us go to them and embrace them and let them know we have so many common values, basic values in common, so many essential aspirations, things that we want. Our hopes are so much alike for the good future of human life on this earth that we should not be living separate from each other, not even knowing that the other exists. Let us know our numbers. Let us know our strength. Let us know our combined numbers so we will know our combined strength. So all of us will have a greater spirit to go forward for the great future that we want on this earth. Go to them and talk to them like that. I'm showing you how to talk to them. Go to them and talk to them like that. They will embrace you. You'll be in. When you're in, the police department will change its attitude towards you. When you're in, the FBI will change its attitude towards you. Because the big boys on top, they hire the police department. The big boys on top, they hire the FBI. The big boys on top, they hire the President of the United States. His salary is being paid by us, but who hired? They hired. And one of us went to the White House holding, leading President Bill Clinton by the hand and say, okay, son, go there and take your pen. Hold your hand up and take your hand. No. The big boys do that. They see that that's done. So when you have them, your friend, they know you're not threatening the good order of the world or the good order of society, they will accept you as a friendly people, and they will work for your good when you're not even knowing that they're doing so. See, I know what I was up against. I'm getting ready to conclude this. I know what I was up against when the responsibility fell on me to lead the followers of Allah and Elijah Muhammad. I know what I was up against. I said, now we're going to have to come out of this prison. A lot of them ain't going to want to come out of this prison. I'm going to take risks inviting them to come out of the prison. And once they're out of the prison of the constructs that have held them, the Fruit of Islam, the MGT, and other constructs, then I'm going to have the problem of freeing their minds. I said, I know what I'm up against. I said, and their leaders, most of them are not going to be trusting my leadership enough to follow me comfortably and to keep pace with me. They say foot draggers, I think that's what they call them. There's going to be a lot of foot draggers, 98% foot draggers and 2% walking with me, keeping pace. So I knew that. So I said, what I have to do to preserve this, God bless my intelligence. I said, what I have to do to preserve this, I'm going to have to expose this to the public. So they ain't the only ones knowing what's happening. So I began to expose my plans and everything to the public. So the public knew what my leadership was, not just you. So in case I fell dead on a heart attack, looking at your faces, telling me you'll never make it, you'll never get there. No, they won't say it the mouth, but I said it. You'll never make it. You'll never get there. I'm going to stay on your back and weigh you down forever. I'll be dead weight on you forever, boy. You're not talking like Elijah Muhammad, your father, the holy messenger of God. And I'm going to stay a dead weight on your back forever. So I got to look in their faces, right? So I said, yes, dead weight. So I'm preparing something for you that's going to pick your little light tail up and throw you into the universe. But they didn't know it. See, I wouldn't tell them what I was planning, but I just went on about doing it. So I exposed my leadership to the public society. And the church was so, the church leaders, some of the church leaders, were so happy and so proud of my own leadership that they began to come to me and invite me to come to them and telling me of how happy and how proud they were. And you think Muslim leaders didn't come? Muslim leaders came from Egypt, came from Turkey, came from Pakistan, came from many places around the Muslim world, came to me to tell me how proud they were and how happy they were that the change had been made, and praying for my success. So you don't know how many Muslims would be praying, say thousands of Muslims be praying for your success all the time. That's what they told me. This was an uplift. This was an encouragement for me. This was a kind of security for me. I felt more secure. All right, so I had to keep on working that, to work you out of the prison. Now you're out of the prison. You can't even put yourself back in. You're out of the prison, and you can't put yourself back in that prison again. Thank Allah. Thank Allah for Islam and Muhammad, the best of all creatures. Yes, thank Allah. So we join the Christian leadership who are moral and ethical and believe in God and hold God above all authorities. We join them as friends. We join them as co-workers for the better future for all American people. And we want to make our effort now mainly to establish community life. And all the other items on the agenda must come under that heading. Our effort is to establish community life, Muslim community life. Education, better schools, number one. A place to pray is the earth itself. I know this might sound ridiculous to some of you, but I think the situation is so critical for us as poor people, we should forget about making a mosque. Make a school. Build good, excellent schools. And we can pray on the gym floor. We can pray on the kitchen floor, dormitory floor. We can put a minbar in any spot, any corner, set the minbar in the direction of the Qibla, and make our prayers. And say, once we have the good school completed, then we're going to build a separate structure as a beautiful mosque to accommodate the people's Friday prayers, etc. But until then, let us pray on the ground. Pray on the ground. The earth is God's mosque. El-Ardu Masjidillah. That's what Allah says in Quran. pray on the ground. Yes. And wouldn't that be beautiful? I think that's what we need to do in America. More of us need to pray on the ground, even in the wintertime. They say, hell, those people really believe in God. You get in enough trouble, you pray in Chicago on the ground in January and February. I know because I did. Yeah. Daddy put me out. He had already messed me up by telling me my name was Wallace D. Muckmud. And later learned from the Arab, the man from Jerusalem, that is supposed to be called Muhammad. Calling it Muckmud, and I'm 13, 14 years old, telling people my name is Wallace D. Muckmud, pronouncing Muhammad Muckmud. You know, the Turks pronounce it Mehmet. Mehmet. So here we are in America, pronouncing Muckmud. So they didn't know who we were. They couldn't even call us Mohammedans. So Muckmud can't be pronounced Mohammedan. Yeah. And told me I wasn't supposed to work for anybody but the Nation of Islam. So I don't have a job record. And you want a job? What's your last employer? Shabazz Restaurant. Shabazz Restaurant. You have any other employment? Yes. Shabazz Clothing Store. Any other employment? Yes. Muhammad Speaks Salesman. Well, we'll call you. So here I am knocking on the door for a job. Daddy put me out because I said I didn't believe in his idol God anymore. So I'm in trouble. Some of you all would have prayed to Farad. Don't forgive me, Farad. I'm going back home. And I had a wife and a child, too. One child, one girl, Layla. And her name means beauty of the night or darkness or something. And that's exactly what I had at that time. So I'm telling you, I said, I'm going to get me a job. It was in the wintertime, God is my witness. And I wouldn't share this with you if I didn't think you could take it. I got down in that snow and I made Sezda, I prayed. And I went into that set factory, Bethlehem Steel, and they gave me a job. Yes. So we don't have to build a lot of messages. Let's just build life. Let's just concentrate on building life. Community life. And more important for us to have a good school facility than for us to have a mosque right now. And we can pray in the school facility, the area that's not being used during the school days. And on the weekend, the school is not going on anyway. So you can have the gym for the Jummah, after Jummah time, you can have the gym for Jummah. And the Sunday outreach program that you have, you can have that on Sundays in the gym, and building, constantly working to build the school like you want it, and constantly raising monies to do the mosque later, to do the mosque later. And give so much to the mosque, hour to the mosque, hour to planning work in the neighborhood, planning to have business in your neighborhood, planning to have strong business in your neighborhood, planning to give business life to the African-American quarters, especially where Muslims are living. And you'll be very successful. God is with that because God made all of us honorable. God says in the Quran that he made all the descendants of Adam honorable. قَدْ كَرَمْنَا كُلِّ بَنِي آدَمْ. He made every descendant of Adam honorable. So you know that Moorish Americans, they had a leader called Noble Drew Ali. I guess if he can hear this message in his grave, he said, oh, I should have told all of them they were noble. Because God said, every human being is created noble. That means you're created for the highest position that any man can aspire to. You just have to work for it. And if you can't get it, let your life have it. Your life is not just in your immediate body and your immediate presence. Your life is in the presence of your people you associate with and identify with. So feel your success also in their success. And when you see one achieving, encourage him on. Give him support. And when he becomes the leader or the president or the industrialist who industrialize in your neighborhood, you will have a sense of fulfillment in him because he is you and you supported him. Your achievement is his achievement is your achievement, and we will be successful. God will love us and give us help always. Now, in concluding this, God revealed to Muhammad to say to those people who didn't want to see him successful, who didn't want to see him free, to bring the better life to them from God, to say to them, I am a free man in this town. So who authorized citizens to be free? God. God. All of us are supposed to be serving God. The nation is supposed to be serving God. All of us are supposed to be serving God who made all these things possible, made us and all things possible for us. So the claim to freedom is based upon the fact that God made the world and made us to aspire to freedom. He gave us this spirit. So nobody has a right to deny us the fulfillment of the life that God created us for. In that town in Mecca, or any town, Los Angeles, or any other town on this earth. If you believe that and respect the guidance of God, the wisdom of the Quran, the logic of the Quran, the plain sense teachings of the Quran, and the wisdom and logic and plain sense teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, and his human excellence and his respect for everybody. Muhammad respected women. Muhammad respected children. Muhammad respected animals. People walking, he saw them walking down the road and the dog was coming to them walking the same road. And they, what did he put in them, inspire in them? Respect for the right of animals to walk this earth too. So what did they do? They said, give the dog his right to walk the road. So we have great modern society with much money given to animal welfare, protection of animals, etc. And we don't know the first to do that, the first to ask people to respect the rights of everything was Muhammad the Prophet, following the guidance of God, the Quran. Yes. So we are really the leaders on this earth, but we don't have our own equipment. We don't even know our own equipment. If we knew our equipment and picked it up from the book of God and picked it up from the life example of Muhammad the Prophet and pledged ourselves to follow it and be true to it, be loyal. You know another thing slavery did to us in my conclusion? It killed loyalty in us. It made us feel we had no one to be loyal to but God. And that's how a lot of you all know now. Your loyalty is only to God. Yeah, if Allah tells me, I'll do it. I'm going to wait. He's been disappointed so many times. Yeah, they saying he's that and he's that. I'm going to wait. That's what slavery has done to us. Made us not have faith in people. Not have faith in other people. Let us get rid of these old damages that were done to us. Let us heal these wounds from slavery, heal so that we can really be functional and successful in a real practical world. And we can be if you'll only put those petty things aside, put the petty sordidness aside. I can't ask you to do what I do, but I do it with no burden on me. God is my witness. I live for your children just like I live for my own. And if I plan a future for my children, it will be a future the same for your children. If I save $1,000 to have a better school for my child, that's going to be also your school for your child. And if your child come there and get a score above mine and I'm the principal of that school, your child will get the place it deserves in that school, and I will not put my child before your child. God has made me that way with Islam and with Muhammad. And I'm so thankful to God. Yes, I'm so thankful to God. And I love my children. I have the same love for my children you have for yours. Yes. But I love God more. I love Muhammad more. I love the Quran more. I love obedience to Allah more. So I'm happy doing the right thing. That's what makes me happy. Thank you. Let us pray to God for forgiveness for our errors, our sins, our mistakes. And let us all ask God to put our minds on the more important things, obedience to Him, not as individuals, but as a community. And let us work for community establishment. Let us work to hear adhan called from mosque, and I'm sleeping in my house, I'm renting from a Muslim, or I own my house, and I'm looking at other houses across the street that a Muslim developer put up, and I'm hearing Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ringing out over the neighborhood. And I see cabs run up down the street, owned by us. And I go out there and ride down to the big shopping plaza, and I get some things and come back home, knowing that that shopping plaza is a Muslim responsibility. Muslim responsibility. I go to the docks and look at the ships coming in with huge sums of goods coming in from many parts of the world, coming into my neighborhood. Muslims are in charge of it. That's what we want. Then your child will come up with a spirit to make an A where he was making a C, to make a C where he was failing. Yes, don't you know success depends on circumstances to a great extent? Yes, and until we have those physical circumstances supporting our encouragement or our faith to be successful, at least do what our Elijah Muhammad did. He was a powerful psychologist. He didn't have nothing much but words, but those words were powerful. And he said, we are the owners. You weren't the owners, you know nothing. went to the temple, and if you weren't careful, you would stumble over a drunk. That's the kind of neighborhood we were living in. But he said, we are the owners. It all belongs to us. And believe me, old folks, middle-aged folks, and even children heard him say those things. And it went inside of us, and it changed the way we thought about ourselves. So be positive, and be brave, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Be courageous, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Be daring, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't be afraid to tell the world, I'm here to stay, and I'm here to get a piece of what you got, and I'm going to get it. And don't forget to pray. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan. Our Lord, give us in this world the good and excellent things. Wa fil akhirati hasanatan. And in the latter life, the good and excellent things. Wa qina adhaban nar. And protect us and save us from the fires of sin. Pray that and be successful. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-6750 or write to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.